This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, and kindle within us the fire of your love. Take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. Take our souls and set them on fire with love for you. Amen. Please be seated. Becca, would you do me a favor, please? Becca, would you hand me that poster right there? I drew something for you today, or attempted to draw something. How many of you have ever used a compass, actually used one to find your way somewhere where you needed the compass? Raise your hand. Thank you, ma'am. Yeah? Okay, a few people. I know I have one on my phone, but I can't say I've used it much. So this is the compass that I drew. Not so bad. I wished I'd had a compass one night. In 2004, my parents had planned a trip to Wisconsin for 2 weeks. They were going to fly up there, rent a car, and go all over Wisconsin to visit their family home and where they grew up and where they got married and just have a wonderful trip. Well, that year my dad died, and my mom, being my mom, she was elderly then, she's elderly now, but she was elderly then, and she said, well, I'm going to go by myself. She was going to take the car and drive around Wisconsin for 2 weeks by herself. I was teaching at the time here at the school, and I had some free time in the summer, so naturally somebody had to do it. So I was thrilled to be able to go on this trip with her. But we had a wonderful time until one night. We had visited our cousin way out in the country, and she had to navigate us to her house by phone, and we made it there, and we were sure we could find our way back. Well, we could not find our way back, and we got so lost. If you've ever been to Wisconsin, we got lost in the woods in Wisconsin, and there were no road signs. We had maps, but it wouldn't do us any good because we didn't know where we were to begin with. And so then we're going down this road, and we see this sign, and we thought, oh, good, a sign. But the sign said, now entering National Forest, beware wild animals entering roadway. So, you know, we're out. It's like probably almost midnight. We were really beginning to get scared. We had no compass. We had no navigation system in this car. Well, all of a sudden, my mom said, look. And the moon was beginning to rise in the east. And we knew that it rose in the east. And so, all right, finally, we know what direction to go. So we just knew that if we headed south, we would run into the interstate eventually, and we did. But we had to have that compass point. We had to have that still point to know where to go. In our lives, there are times when we feel we have no compass at all. Emotionally, something happens, or something gets so out of control that we're just upside down, and we have no clue how to move forward. If you haven't had that experience in your life yet, you will. One day, something will happen. And so we just kind of try to figure out what to do. In our other services, we read several readings, and the reading appointed for today was from Job. And if you know Job in the Bible, he was crying out, saying, God, where are you in my life? All these horrible things had happened to him. And he was saying, where are you? Where are you? He says, I look before me. I look there, you're not there. I look backward, you're not there. I look to the left, you're not there. I look to the right, you're not there. Where are you, God? And then the psalm for today, you can read it later if you take your leaflet home, is Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? That's the same thing Jesus cried out the night before he died. My God, why me? Why me? Why am I going through this? And you feel like no one else in the world knows how you suffer. That's the moment where a compass would come in really handy, a new navigation point. Okay, this is just a little exercise, and we'll do something with the cards. All of you should have a 3x5 card and a pencil, but not quite yet with the pencils. I just want you to have them ready. I borrowed this from Ron Bell from a video. Some of you know him, Rob Bell, excuse me. If any of you have experienced, or someone very close to you have experienced the devastation of cancer, stand up. If you can stand up. If not, we'll acknowledge that. I'm standing. If you or someone close to you. All right, now look around. Look around. See how many people this is. All right, now what comes to mind? What comes to mind as you look around? Just anybody. Pardon me? A large percent. What else? What? Sadness. What else? Something in common. Thank you. You may be seated. In the video that I watched about this, he said when he did this in one city, because he goes on tour, he said one man stood up and simply said, "I miss her. I miss her." That's what had come to mind for him. When we unite in a common suffering, if I know I've experienced something and you've experienced something, it bonds us in a way unlike anything else. Unlike anything else. Many of you know that my daughter died, and this was 9 years ago, but 2 years after her death, I happened to be in the nail salon. I like to get my nails done, so I was in the nail salon and put my hands under the dryer to, you know, get them dry. And this woman came, sat down next to me, never saw her before in my life, total stranger. She looked horrible. She looked like just something really bad had happened to her. And I didn't know what to say or do. She sat right next to me. And then she just kept looking at me. And I looked at her and I said, "Are you all right?" And she said, "My son died this week. I don't imagine you know how that feels." And I then was able to tell her my experience, and we became fast friends within about a minute as we started to cry with each other, and then humor came in and we started laughing, and the other people in the salon must have thought we were absolutely out of our minds, and we didn't care. And our nails got so dry, we didn't have any idea they would last for weeks. We just sat there and sat there. Our common suffering unites us deeply, deeply. All right, now the 3x5 cards. Make sure you have a 3x5 card and a pencil, please. And in the very center of the 3x5 card, please write, "I know how you feel." I know how you feel. Okay. I know how you feel. If you're not able to write, just hold the card. God knows. All right, there are four situations I'm going to give to you. The first one, if you've ever been to a funeral of someone you love deeply, raise your card. Okay? Now look around, make eye contact with someone that's holding their card, and exchange cards. Oh, I have to exchange mine. Thank you. All right, second situation. If, whether yourself or someone very close to you, if you have ever suffered the destructive consequences of an addiction, hold up your card. I'm holding mine up high. Okay? An addiction now. Once again, make eye contact with someone and exchange cards. Somebody else that you didn't exchange cards with already. Third, at any time in your life, if you've ever stared at a stack of bills and had absolutely no idea how you were going to pay the bills, raise your hand. And once again, make eye contact, exchange the cards. I'm glad to see some of you with your cards up who have plenty of money now. That's good. That's reassuring to me. Okay, and the last one. If you have ever been betrayed, let down by someone close to you, raise your card. And once again, make eye contact and exchange those cards with somebody new. Now, the cards say, I know how you feel. And no matter how it's written, we don't know exactly how one another feels because we're all different, but we have an inkling and we share that bond. And now whatever card you have, whoever gave it to you, what I'd like you to do is draw just the four points of the compass right over the top of it. Right over the top of it. At times in our lives when we go through difficulties, we scream, why? Just like Job, just like the psalmist did. We don't know why. And that question cannot be answered. It just can't be answered. Even if we knew the medical reason, even if we knew how the accident happened, it doesn't help. It really doesn't help. What helps is to know who was with you and stood by you and gave you a compass point, gave you a focal point, gave you the ability to know that there was someone else on the planet that was with you. And I just have to say that this compass looks an awful lot like a cross to me. Looks an awful lot like a cross. So in the middle of your depth of despair, I know how you feel is that cross of Christ right there in the heart of your life. I hope you'll put these cards away now and use them as a reminder and take them with you. Job had bitter complaints, and so did the psalmist. But the way the psalms are written, you see, is that Brueggemann, who was this great theologian and studied the psalms for years in Hebrew and the Old Testament, he said all the psalms, and if you read them, you'll see this too, are either about being oriented, centered, or about being disoriented, or it's about how you came back to center. And those psalms, when you're going through a hard time, can be really helpful because they resolve eventually. They come back to a compass point eventually. In Hebrews, which was another reading we did earlier, it says the Word of God is living and active. It's not just words on a page. The gospel and the messages for us are right here and right now. It's like this living entity, living and alive. And the way it works is between all of us. And it says that God comes through with this sword, sharper than a two-edged sword, to get right to the crux of our lives and what's real and authentic. And that's how it means is alive and active in our lives if we're willing to surrender. And sometimes surrendering, when we're on our knees and we have to admit something we don't want to admit, or we don't know what to do about a tragedy, being on our knees is not a bad place to be, because we can finally surrender to what God might have for us in our life in that situation. We surrender and draw nearer to God. We draw nearer to silence. We've run out of what we can do. We draw nearer to listening. And we draw nearer to the realization that we're not alone. We have a compass. We have someone who knows suffering, who is with us in everything. That's what compassion means. Com is with, and passion is all those hard things in our life. And if you'll forgive me, I couldn't help this when I was writing this sermon. These two words have nothing in common in their root, but I noticed that in compassion, compass is in the middle of it. Is that cool? I think it's cool. You see? So that on those little cards that hopefully you will take home, it's a reminder of that love of God being in the heart of your life and in the heart of your joy and in the heart of your suffering, always. We have a member of this community of Unplugged, Rosalind Murray, and she was going to be here during this time to say a few words, but she went down to see Godspell with some of our other members of the congregation. Some of you met her if you came in for announcement time. She gave me permission to tell her story. And you talk about surrender. I didn't even know this about Roz until she sent me an email of a CBS News clip. And I am, apparently today's the technicality challenging day because I couldn't get it to come up on the screen like I do most of the videos we use. By the way, we're getting new projectors tomorrow. So just in time, yay. So Roz was born with a birth defect. She didn't have the bone in her right lower leg. And this was back in a time before bone transplants. She came from a very loving family. They lived in a small town. And she had to be admitted to Crippled Children's Hospital for 2 years at the age of two, because the recommended treatment was an amputation of the leg from the knee down and a prosthesis, which back then was a wooden leg. So for 2 years, she lived in this hospital, and at the age of two, learned how to use crutches, and three, and four. And all the time, she had this amazing family. And she said they taught her acknowledge, accept, move forward. She said she never really knew she was different, because she was with all these other children that had challenges. She just figured it was part of her life. And her family was right there with her. Well, then when she went into this small town elementary school, they wore dresses back then, and she was known as the little girl with the wooden leg. She kind of thought it was, you know, not really a big deal. This is her story. This is her telling me this. Then when she got into high school and college, she began to understand how different she was. And she was African-American, too, and this was several decades ago. So she not only was dealing with this physical challenge, she was dealing with integration and who am I and all the challenges you go through just growing up. She would then go on to marry 25 years ago, John. He sings in our choir at 9:30. And then 10 years ago, an amazing thing happened to her. She was approached by a friend of hers who said, I want you to come and take an aerobic dance class in my class. And I not only want you to take the class, I want you to teach it. And Roz said, I can't do that. I can't do that. She said, I think you can. Well, Roz went on not only to teach that class, but to excel in it. And then she learned spinning, and she started to teach spinning. And right now, she is an expert fitness advisor. She teaches Pilates, body sculpting, and spinning, and she's studying to be a personal trainer. You talk about surrender. She surrendered, and she said a year after she started teaching, she and her husband adopted their precious Josh. After trying to have a child for many years, they adopted this child, and she said what she realized is that the hand of God was with her in every second of her life, helping her acknowledge and accept and move forward. And that doesn't mean that in the acknowledgement there weren't tears and it wasn't difficult. Don't hear me wrong. But in the acknowledgement, you're on your knees. And find acceptance, and then to move forward. You talk about surrender. The gospel today is about surrender. This rich young man comes to Jesus, says, how can I inherit eternal life? And in those days, if you were a strong Jew, you knew that you just followed the Moses law, the Mosaic law of the Ten Commandments. And that's why Jesus says to him, well, you know the law. And he spelled out six of the Ten Commandments to this young man, but the young man must have known there was something deeper than just doing good. Because he said, I've been doing that since my youth, I've been doing that. But what How do I have eternal life? And what did Jesus do? Jesus, looking at him, loved him. Loved him. And then he said, go and sell all you have and give it to the poor. Now, I don't know, and I don't think anybody knows, if Jesus really meant that we're supposed to sell everything and give it to the poor. I don't think Jesus would want us all out on the street. Although, maybe he did mean we were supposed to have some amazing utopian society, just maybe. What I do know is that this deeper meaning of this gospel is calling us all to give away everything about our lives to God, to surrender to a power so much greater than ourselves, to give our lives, to give our work, to give our friendships, to give our challenges and our joys to God. And God, in God's infinite wisdom and will, can do all things, all things. In closing, I have to tell you, I love this community of St. Joseph's. I see people sharing deeply their joys and their sufferings and walking with one another through difficult times in their lives. It's an amazing community, and I invite you to invite your friends and invite your neighbors, invite people on the street to come and know the joy and the miracle of God in this place. Amen.